The book of James. The book of James could be the book of Jacob. The word James in Hebrew is Jacob, Yaakovu. Jacob, the one that follows the heel. This James here was Jesus' half-brother. It was Mary's son and Joseph's son. There was a brother, John, the son of Zebedee, and another one was the son of Alphaeus. But neither one of these are the writer of this book of James. Jesus appeared to him after he rose from the grave in 1 Corinthians 15:7. He was present in Acts 1:14. Later he became a great leader in the Jerusalem congregation in Acts 12:17 and Galatians 1:18-19. Most people believe that he wrote this general letter. Tradition is it that he spent so much time on his knees in prayer that he became a callous as the knees of a camel. Paul listened to his advice in Acts 21:18-26. He was a very conservative Jewish believer. He moderated a potential explosive situation in the Jerusalem church and later drafted a very tolerant letter to the Gentile Christians in Acts or in Antioch regarding their status. Acts 15:13-19 and Galatians 2:9, 2:1, 9:10, and 12. Although James certainly recognized Paul's role to the Gentiles, he concentrated on his own mission, that of winning Jewish brethren back to Christ, whom they had crucified. The book of James is the most Jewish book in the New Testament. The book of James is the most Jewish book in the New Testament. Many Bible scholars and early what they call church fathers would not accept the book of James at all. I don't think Luther ever attributed it much authority. It represents Jewish Christianity of the type found in Jerusalem congregation, where James was a dominant figure from about AD 45 until his martyrdom in AD 62. The book of James or the book of Jacob, whatever you wish to call it. It's Demas or Demetrius, in Greek also, in the Ames. Now, the book of James was written somewhere between 45 and 62 AD, of course, by the half-brother of Jesus. Now, the book of James is a book on what we might call practical Christianity or living Christianity. I'm going to read this. This is our Bible readings. I believe this is class number 23. James, the bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That word endurance there is hypomene. That means to remain under the strain, by the way. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask the God who gives all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded, that means literally two-souled, dixos, two-souled man, and unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of a humble circumstances glory in his high position. Let the brother of a humble, beggarly circumstances glory in his high position in the Lord. Let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like a flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and the flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So to the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Number 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. And the Lord God of heaven does not create reprobate either, nor anything evil. But each one is tempted when he is carried away by his own and enticed by his own lust. Then when his lust is conceived, it gives birth and sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We had an example of this in David's life with Bathsheba. His sin with her, she became pregnant, and when she had that child, it died. She brought forth death. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, and with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth, and by the word of truth, so that he might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of the wickedness in humility, and receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks into a natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But he who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, and not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Living Christianity. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue and deceives his own heart, the man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Chapter 2. I remember a long time ago, when I was in the seminary, one woman memorized, got up and recited the whole book of James. That's the way we ought to sow the word of God in our hearts, be able to do it by memory and by heart, as they say. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty, this absolute beggar, somebody drags him in there and lays him at in the floor of that church house, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, you sit over here in this good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. It is not rich who oppress you. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into the court? They do not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality and you are committing a sin and are convinced by the law as a transgressor, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point has become guilty of it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. And now if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. And I'm going to tell you what, a whole bunch of the Jews committed murder. Mm-hmm. With James, with Stephen, and with Jesus Christ. So speak as so to act at those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment shall be merciless to one who has shown no mercy, and mercy triumphs over judgment. What use is it, my brethren, if man said that he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and no one of you says to him, go in peace and be warm and be filled, and yet you not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, if anyone has no works, is dead, being itself. Being by itself, works is dead. But someone may well say, you have faith, I have works, show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Demons also believe and shudder. But if you're willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar for a sacrifice? You see that faith is working with works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected and shown forth, matured. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying that, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was also called the friend of God. You see that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent him out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Chapter number 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we have incurred a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If any man does not stumble in what he says, he is perfect, man able to bridle his own body as well. Now if he puts the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are very great, are driven with strong winds and are still directed by a very small rudder, whoever the inclination of the pilot desires. Wherever the inclination of that pilot desires with that little rudder. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts a great thing. Behold, how great a forest is set afire by small fire, by small flame. And the tongue is a fire, a very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as it which defiles the entire body and sets on the fire course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea have been tamed and have been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and we curse men who have been made like in the likeness of God. From the same mouth came forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send forth the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Who among you is wise and understanding, let him show by his good behavior and his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, and do not be arrogant, and so lie against the truth. The wisdom is not that of which comes down from above, but it is earthly and natural and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable and full of mercy and of good fruits and unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Chapter 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? It is not the source of your pleasures and wage war with your members. You lust and do not have. You commit murder and you are envious and cannot obtain. And so you fight and quarrel and you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasure. You adulteresses do not know that the friendship with the world is hostility toward God, and therefore whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God? Or do you think that the Scripture speaks of no purpose and he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us? And he gives greater grace. Therefore he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against his brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, and we shall go such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. And yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And how many millions and billions of people have come in this world and gone like a vapor, and nobody ever remembers them. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live, and also do this or do that. But as it is you who boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him is sin. Chapter number 5. Come now, you rich, weep and bawl and howl for your miseries and which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and your rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold the pay of the laborer who mowed your fields, which has become withered, withheld by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, Jehovah Sabaoth. And he's talking about Jesus. People that you have worked for you and withhold their wages, their hearts cry out to God against you, he said. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure, and you have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter, and you have condemned and put to death the righteous man who does not resist you. Be patient, and therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, a farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until he gets to the early and late rains. This is dry land farming, people. Dry land farmers pray for the rain. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. The judge is at the door. As an example, brethren, suffering and patience, and take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who are endured. You have heard the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings with the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. He's merciful, full of mercy. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your aye yes be yes and your noes be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you a suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. If anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, and administering medicine unto him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This is therapy, people. So many people today, now they did pray for people and they did get well and some people died. There are so many people today, faith healers today, that you don't have faith if you're not saved, if you're not healed. People, every Christian's going to die unless the rapture comes. And this is talking about doctrine. Take care of your brethren. Doctor them. Give them medicine like the good Samaritan did to the Jew. They poured oil upon him, on his wounds, bound him his wounds up, and gave him something to eat. And prayed for him, I'm sure. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. And therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much, availeth much with the Lord. Elijah is a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him who turns him turns a sinner from his error of his way, will save his soul from death, and he will recover a multitude of sins. Our Father, we send this message out. It is plain, it is straight, it is beautiful, it's your word. Help us apply it to our hearts and our lives and our minds and our souls. I pray for all of my students out there all over the world, that those that you've given me to care for, that these words touch their hearts, and they live in you and for you. Please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name.